So how many of you were thinking, ooh, I love this gospel passage. I'm going to make a meme of this and post it on social media. The parable of the landowner is the best ever. Yeah, probably not. I don't know about you, but this parable takes me back to an old place within myself. The feeling it evokes brings back the memory of being a child with my hand on my hip, declaring, "That is not fair." Ooh. Childhood development milestones include moral reasoning beginning at age 4, with a sense of fairness kicking in at ages 5 and 6. Children are wired for connection and survival. And these things are a part of it. So, who among us, as a child, counted the presents underneath the Christmas tree to confirm that our siblings didn't get more than we did? How many of us carefully measured and inspected everything shared with our siblings? It did not matter if it was the saddest bologna sandwich or grandma's very special pie. Nope, you're not getting more than me, especially if you don't deserve it. Oh. Fairness, merit, scarcity are a powerful and frightening trio, making the notion of grace difficult to comprehend, much less embrace. The parable of the landowner we heard today, in it there is an echo of the prodigal son. The grumbling first workers who toiled in the scorching heat for 12 hours were given the same wage as those who worked only an hour. It sounds a bit like that older brother who complained that in all the years he'd worked for his father, he had never been rewarded, at least not in the way his prodigal brother was, for whom dad slaughtered the fatted calf. While all of this is not fair, it is quickly coming into view that God is not fair. For all the times my daddy told me, "Life is not fair," as I protested before him with my hand on my hip, that was when I was a child and perhaps as recently as yesterday, I wonder what I would have made of such a plain theological statement. God is not fair. I don't recall hearing that in Sunday school, but Ed Stein reminded me that in the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis tells us again and again, Aslan is not a tame lion. It's true. God is not fair. Aslan is not a tame lion. God is generous. Offensively so, and that's what's not fair about it, and it's what we call grace. The Book of Common Prayer defines grace as God's favor towards us, unearned and undeserved. By grace, God forgives our sins, enlightens our minds, stirs our hearts, and strengthens our wills. And the one of the funny, counterintuitive things for us about grace, it's not a zero-sum game. Someone else receiving grace does not reduce or diminish the grace that God pours out upon each of us. God's economy is different from our own. Grace is the only thing in this world of which there's truly an endless supply and yet remains priceless. In today's parable, those who worked all day were fully paid for their work. and there was still enough to pay those who came at the last minute. There was enough. The trio of fairness, merit, and scarcity is overcome by the duo of grace and abundance. After Hurricane Harvey, we witnessed how generous people were in giving of themselves and their resources. Countless stories have the same theme. It was as if people couldn't help fast enough. They wanted to give and help as if it were oxygen. And it was apparent. We all saw it. There is enough. I went to the George R. Brown and saw the outpouring of help and supplies and realized there is enough. There is truly enough. If we look out for one another, there is enough. My colleague Charles LaFond said to me this summer, as we chatted over coffee in the Isle of Iona, he said this to me, "I don't think we're greedy people. I think we're scared people. And greed is how we choose to scream." That resonated with me. That resonated with me. And today it causes me to look again at this parable and ask, who would I be in this parable if I stopped being scared? If I were afraid of nothing, what could I do? If I knew deep within my heart that there is enough, and that God is gracious, extravagantly gracious, and that as a child of God, I want to emulate my gracious, loving, divine parent. Who am I in the parable now? Look to the beginning of this passage and discover. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. The landowner is not anxious or afraid. The landowner is concerned about putting people to work. Even at 5 o'clock, the landowner is still looking and finds people standing around. Why are you standing idle all day? And sends them into the vineyard, thus assuring everyone has their daily wage. Or as we pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. New Testament scholar Amy Jill Levine urges us to hear the parable as Jesus' first listeners would have heard it, as a lesson about how the employed and the affluent, the comfortable, those who have plenty, must speak on behalf of those who lack a daily wage. They also discovered a prompt for people with resources. Attend to those who do not have jobs and make sure everyone has what is needed. Jesus does not invent this idea of advocating for the unemployed and sharing resources. The same concerns occur in Jewish tradition from King David, onward. But unless we know the biblical and historical sources, we will mishear the parable. So how do you hear this parable? Matthew, to whom this gospel is attributed, was a tax collector, someone who collected and kept account of money. Unlike modern IRS agents who are public servants and abide by the tax law, tax collectors of Jesus' time were hired by Rome and allowed to collect anything they could, by any means they could, including taxes above the stated tax rate. There was enough in his life because of the unsavory practices at the time. Jesus called to Matthew, who was sitting at the tax booth, "Follow me." And what happened? Matthew got up and followed him. And I wonder what stirred in Matthew's heart and mind at that moment. I wonder if he asked himself something like, "What would I do if I weren't afraid?" The transformation of Matthew was all grace, and the gospel bears his name. Today we begin every member canvas, and I hope to see you at the dinner tonight. It should be fun. And while Hurricane Harvey has challenged us in a variety of ways, even forcing some of us out of our homes, if we continue to look out for one another, there will be enough. For there is enough. Because the kingdom of God is like a landowner who ensured everyone received their daily bread. May we, as children of God, continue to receive God's grace with open hands, and in response, live lives of generosity, abundance, and faithfulness. Jesus calls us, each of us. We are baptized into his death and resurrection, and we are given God's grace, poured out abundantly upon us. So let us be confident. Aslan's not a tame lion. God is not fair. Let us be confident in God's graciousness, his extravagant graciousness. And let us ask ourselves, what would I do if I were not afraid? Amen.